From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
This is the day we come to rejoice and be glad in it and give praise and worship to Almighty God. God of light, we thank you for giving us the gift of Jesus Christ. We come before you with wonder and delight that you come to us in the child born in a manger. Be with us on this day of birth and rebirth. Come, honor us with the presence of your gracious and joyful Spirit. Fill our weary hearts with renewed hope and joy, and rekindle in our souls the light of Christ. Glory to you in the highest, O God. Glory in the highest. Amen. And now we pray that prayer which our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. O Lord, open our lips. Well, good morning. Guess what today is?
Christmas.
You know, right? And whose birthday is it? It's his birthday. Okay. Is it really your birthday?
Yesterday was.
Okay, okay. Well, happy birthday. Today we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, right? And so why don't we sing happy birthday to Jesus? Can we do that? All right? And I want everyone to join in, all right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God, Jesus. Happy birthday to you. All right. Well, you know, your name means something. In fact, all of our names mean something. Especially in the Bible, names meant something very special. Eve, like as in Adam and Eve, her name meant mother of all the living. My name, which I'm named after one of Jesus' apostles, means strong, enduring, persevering. Remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? The name Daniel means the Lord is judge. Mary, as in Mary, the mother of Jesus, her name means pure. Do you know what your name means? Anyone, maybe? Okay. Well, you might find that out because it's kind of neat to know that. And my name, like I said, means strong and enduring. And there's actually a scripture that goes with my name, and I have it on the wall. And it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." And I bet your name means something, and I bet there's a scripture verse to go along with your name, too. So you might want to know what your name is. Now, Jesus' name is the most important name of all. And you know what Jesus' name means? It means the Lord saves. And Mary and Joseph didn't get that name out of a baby name book. No, an angel appeared to them, and the angel said that when Jesus is born, you should give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All right? And that's why Jesus came, to take away all of our guilt, to wipe away all of our mistakes, and to make us completely clean and pure and forgiven and acceptable to God. And that's why Jesus came. And so today we celebrate that, the day that Jesus was born on the earth, so that we could know what it's like to be in relationship with God and have all of our mistakes forgiven and wiped out forever and ever. That's kind of cool, isn't it? To have all of your mistakes erased. Well, that's why Jesus came, and that's what we celebrate today. So go home, ask your mom, why did you name me that? And what does my name mean? It might be something for you to keep in mind, okay? So let's pray. We thank you today, O God, for the name that you have given us. We thank you for the name Jesus. One day we know, O God, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Lord Jesus, you have been given the name that is above every name. And we worship that name today. And we take it into our hearts. Be with these children. Give them a blessed Christmas, O God, and help them to know and sense in their being that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Our special music is God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, played by Becky Snyder as a handbell solo. Our prayer for illumination is led by Susan Berger.
Heavenly Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. We have two New Testament readings this morning. The first is from Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs.
Our Christmas morning meditation, based on readings from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, is by Reverend Andrew Lovins.
Our Gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 1. It reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." I think that there's a subtle error that we need to be careful that we don't drift into when we're talking about the birth of Jesus. By this time, we have talked about Mary and Joseph and the angelic announcement that Mary would give birth to a child even though she was a virgin, that this child would be Emmanuel, God with us. We've talked about the shepherds and how the angels appeared to them, and then they ran to the Holy Family and expressed their joy. And we've talked about the Magi and all of these different scenes that are part of Christmas are well known to us because they're on cards and they're in poems and they're in our scripture readings and everything like that. We're familiar with it. But there is the temptation to believe that when we say that today we are celebrating Jesus' birthday, there is the temptation to think that somehow Jesus actually began to exist on that night in Bethlehem, that somehow Jesus didn't exist before that. You see, when we look at the Synoptic Gospels and when we look at Matthew's account and Luke's account, what we are seeing there is we are seeing a human perspective of what happened on that night. We are seeing an earthly perspective. But when we go to our reading today and when we read what John has to say, we see God's perspective or a cosmic perspective on the birth of Christ. And what John says is very mysterious and very profound. John says that the Word was with God and the Word was God in eternity past. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always lived in complete harmony and unity and love and joy with each other. And so, even though today we celebrate the birthday of Jesus upon the earth, Jesus did not start or begin to exist on that night that we celebrate. Rather, Jesus has always been with the Father, the eternal Son of God. In fact, Scripture says that nothing has been made without Jesus. Think about that. Nothing exists without him. Our reading in Hebrews says the same thing, that God made the entire world and the universe through Christ. And so, I wouldn't be here without Jesus. You wouldn't be here without Jesus. The planet wouldn't exist without Jesus, nor would the oceans or the stars, or the sun or the moon. No, what we celebrate today is simply the revelation to earth that God has a son. And on this day, God shows us through divine revelation what he is really like. And he does that by having the Word put on flesh and walk among us. When we consider what John has to say, I think a couple of ideas become clear in my thinking process. I think that Jesus is revealed to us on this day to show us that God really is approachable. Scholars and historians say that Abraham Lincoln is probably our nation's greatest president. And it's not just in retrospect that, you know, we say that. There were lots of people, even in Lincoln's day, that were very fond of Lincoln because he was a very approachable man. There were certain days out of the year where he opened up the White House just so that common people could come to the White House and sit down and have an audience with him, and they were free to ask him questions or to lay bare their heart, and he would spend time with just common folk answering questions and responding to any concerns that they might have. He was a very approachable man in that way. In fact, it was Lincoln who said, God must have loved the common people because God made so many of them. And at Christmas time, when we read in the scriptures that the Word became flesh, the Word who was God, who has always been with God, in the bosom of the Father, it says, when the Word became flesh, it's God announcing to us, I am approachable. It is God inviting everyone, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And of course, that's one of our problems. We tend to be just slightly restless. In fact, I have found that we are restless from the time that we are born. If you've had kids or been around that, you know that's true. I mean, have you ever heard of a child coming through the birth canal, entering into the wide, wide world, and taking their first breath and saying, hey, Doc, hey, Mom and Dad, am I interrupting anything? No. They come into the world screaming and wailing and crying and keeping everybody up at night. That's what a child does, right? And that kind of restlessness that's with us in infancy carries on with us through our childhood, through our adolescence, and even into adulthood until that restlessness is quelled through a relationship with God. And then we find true and lasting peace, rest in the divine. It was St. Augustine who said that the heart of man is restless until it rests in God. And in my own life, I have found that to be very true. I am most at peace and at rest when I am walking in harmony and unity with God. But when I forget God and I'm no longer centered in the divine, oh, I feel anxiety and worry and lack of peace and restlessness. One of my favorite authors was C.S. Lewis. And he has this book called The Great Divorce. And it's a fantasy, and in it he talks about this bishop from the Church of England who one night dies, and suddenly he's in heaven. And Lewis describes this bishop as one who, even though he was a religious man, he never really made a commitment to Jesus Christ. He liked religion because it sort of entertained him. You know, getting into the different theological debates and that sort of thing, he found that extremely invigorating. The whole thing was just sort of a very speculative endeavor for him. And so he dies and he goes to heaven and he's escorted around heaven and given a tour, and he's given the opportunity to make a decision from his heart for Christ. But heaven does not live up to the bishop's expectations. He doesn't like it there at all. It's not cerebral enough for him. And so he asks if he may leave. And on his way out, he speaks to an angel. And he tries to engage this angel in a theological debate to see if maybe I might like it around here. But the angel demurs and says, oh no, we know nothing of religion around here. We only know Christ. And that's the question on Christmas. Not are you religious? Not are you in church? Or do you belong to a church? But do you know Jesus Christ? Personally, intimately, have you experienced Christ? If you read on in the John text, it says that we may know God. Not only is God approachable, but God is knowable, because the text says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to know God, the right to become the children of God. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't start existing at Christmas. He's always been with the Father, always been in the bosom of the Father. One in the Trinity, one in essence, one in substance with God. But Christmas is the revelation to all of us. It's the revelation to earth that God is not just an abstract concept or a philosophy or a distant creator. No, God is approachable. God is knowable. It's also the revelation that God is near. St. Paul said that. He said, the Word is near you. Remember the Word? Go back to John chapter 1. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then Paul says in Romans 10, the Word is near you. How near? He says, it's in your mouth. He says, it's even in your heart. And he says, this is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what Christmas is about. It's not a religious thing. It's not just a ceremony. No, it's a revelation. It's an announcement. Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, is here and he's near. Reverend Billy Graham, several years ago now, was touring different hospitals in Korea during wartime. And he went into one of them and he came upon a soldier whose spine had been shattered by a bullet. And this young soldier was lying face down on a bed, a canvas bed. And they had cut a hole out of the bottom of the bed so he could at least look out. Graham came up to him and began to talk to the young man. And the young man interrupted Reverend Graham and said, sir, when you speak with me, I would like to speak with you face to face, if I may. I would like to see you. And Reverend Graham actually got down on his hands and knees. And he shimmered himself underneath the bed till he got face to face with the young man. And there he shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ face to face. I think in some way that's what has happened on Christmas. The God in Jesus Christ through his Son has come to us on our sick bed of sin. He's come to where we live, got down on our level to show us that God is approachable, that God is knowable, and that God is near to us in our pain, in our sorrow, in our joy, near to us at all times. How near? As close as our mouth, as close as our very heartbeat. He is near to every one of us today, showing us that God is full of grace and truth. Today, let us receive him into our heart anew, knowing and realizing that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you today, O God, for showing us the Word, for sending your Son, that we might live through him. We offer ourselves to you, O God, today, afresh, anew. Capture our hearts again, O God, through your Son. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.